All right, so Titus, we'll go ahead and read the first four verses again on that. If you read with me, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in His Word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. So here we are again, looking at the credentials of Paul in this fairly long salutation. Paul is under the mastery of God, as we talked about, a messenger for Jesus, and he does this for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth for salvation. And this truth produces godliness, sanctification. And this truth also encourages with the hope of glory that was promised before time began from a God who cannot lie. A promise to the second person in the Trinity, who is Jesus Christ. And in God's seasons has revealed this truth in His Word. And I think that is where we left off. So I will continue in verse 3. Verse 3, in the middle of the verse, Paul talks about preaching, which is the means of God's design for bringing the message. Again, Paul's mission is to save, sanctify, and encourage by way of the truth found in the Word of God. The message is always in the Scripture. And the means is found in verse 3, which is proclamation or preaching. It comes from the Greek word kerusso, which means to proclaim or herald. In ancient times, they didn't have a newspaper, a radio, or a TV. They had heralds. There was a need for kings and rulers to communicate new laws, new information. So a herald, a proclaimer, would come. He would herald out the news. Sometimes the word is eulogize or eulogize. To preach the gospel is used as preaching, but the term here is herald. And here Paul is using this term to point out the preaching, not the preacher. He is saying that he was called for the preaching. He is saying that he was called for that preaching, that it was how God proclaims His truth. And Paul was entrusted with it as a steward. And it was, verse 3, it says, commanded of God our Savior. So it wasn't an option. It was a command. Paul is saying that God's means is by preaching, proclaiming. And this term in the New Testament refers to a public heralding. The public proclamation of the revealed Word of God, which is to evangelize, which edifies, and which encourages. For example, in Matthew 12:41, the men of Nineveh shall stand up in this, with this generation at the judgment and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And there the word is the same, the word kerugma. It means the preaching. Sometimes translated the proclamation, it is told again in Luke 11:32, which you can read. But let's look at 1 Corinthians for a moment, because this is a more familiar text. It says in verse 21, 1 Corinthians, since in the wisdom of God, the Word through its wisdom didn't come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, or literally, the preaching. God was pleased through the krugma, the preaching, to save those who believed. Preaching is God's chosen means. Down in chapter 2, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, my message and my preaching, it's the same word, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. should not wrestle in the wisdom of men. Again, the word kerygma appears. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and down in verse 14, it says, if Christ has not been raised, then our kerygma, or that preaching, is in vain, and your faith also is in vain. So Paul was committed to the means. God had chosen, namely, preaching. And if you look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And then it goes on to say how God protected him. So Paul is involved in preaching. There again, that's the means. Paul is called to be the herald. He was called to be a preacher. And that is common. Jonah was called a preacher. The Old Testament prophets were preachers. Even Jesus was a preacher. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Acts 10:36. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Here it says that God sent his word through the preaching of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:17 says that Jesus came, quoting Isaiah 57:19, says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. So even Jesus was a preacher. Jesus' earlier followers were also preachers. Luke 9:60, and Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He said this to a wannabe disciple who came along and wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said, fine, just let your people take care of what's going on in their domestic side of life, but you start preaching the kingdom. So not only those who followed Jesus were to be preachers, but even more so, the disciples themselves were to be preachers. Acts 5:42 says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. So the prophets of the Old Testament were preachers. The Lord Jesus was a preacher. The early followers were preachers of Christ, and also the apostles were preachers. Preaching has been God's means. Why has God chosen preaching as his means? If you look at Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? Verse 14, how then will they call on him how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That quote out of Isaiah 52:7 doesn't mean that our feet are beautiful, but because of the message we bring, the approach is beautiful. A glorious message that our approaching feet are beautiful. The gospel, the sanctifying truth, doesn't fall out of the sky. It comes through the mouths of preachers. How beautiful, how full, literally in the Greek, how mature, how vigorous, how wondrous are their feet as they approach us with the good news. And Paul was such a preacher. Galatians 1:23. They kept hearing. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith, which he once tried to destroy. They kept hearing it. Paul was a preacher. Colossians 1:24-28. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I may fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and the reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then if you keep reading 2 Timothy 4:1, the next two verses says, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. What's he tell him to do? Preach the word. Why? It is able to save. It's able to teach. It's able to reprove. It's able to correct. It's able to train in righteousness and to make the man of God adequate, thoroughly furnished into all good works. See, the message is the scripture, and only the scripture, and the means is preaching it. The same Christ who preached peace made his preachers the heralds of his peace. So preaching involves justification, sanctification, glorification. It is preaching with the view to evangelize, edify, and encourage. Preaching to save, sanctify, and secure. 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. 2 Corinthians 4:5, we preach Christ as Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, we preach not with persuasive words of wisdom, but we preach God's wisdom. We preach. And Romans 16:25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secrets for the long ages past. God will establish you, literally strengthen you, make you a rock, mature, able by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation. We are to preach about Christ according to God's revelation truth, which is scripture, which has been kept the secret for a long time, and now is manifested in the New Testament and by the scriptures of the prophets, which is the Old Testament. How do we do that? By the gospel which saves, and you and the preaching of Christ according to the full revelation of the mystery that is now revealed. So preachers are to preach the Bible. Now with that in mind, let's read the first three verses of Titus again. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul says proclamation or preaching is to accomplish this, these three things, and it was entrusted to me, Paul. And it isn't something he chose to do. You know that he was thrown off his horse on the road to Damascus when the Lord entrusted him the task of preaching Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:7 says, for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in the faith and truth. Who appointed him? God did. And in 2 Timothy 1:11, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. Paul said this twice, that he was appointed by God to preach. Colossians 1:25, for which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. He was entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel. So for Paul, it was not an option. It was that God commanded him to preach. How does Paul feel about how God commanded him? Look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. It's a lot of words. So Paul is saying, look, if I preach of my own volition, my own will, you would say, good job. You did it. What a noble guy. Because all the things you have done, you chose well. You're a wonderful person. You're a good Christian because you chose this hard task. What a noble cause, and it's so challenging. But Paul says that you can't say that to me. I have nothing to boast about. I am under compulsion. I didn't ask for this. Matter of fact, if I don't preach the gospel, woe is me. In other words, if I don't preach the gospel, God's going to curse me. That's what that woe means. So God has laid this burden on Paul. Galatians 1:15, 16. But then, he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone. Paul is saying that don't commend me for it started in my mother's womb. Preaching was not an option. I did not choose it on my own. In fact, it was really against my will. So Paul had not an option. And then in verse 3 of Titus it says, I was entrusted according to the commandment of God. And here he could have said God Almighty or God All-Powerful. But he says God our Savior, which is very important, meaning that God is by nature a Savior from sin. He uses this phrase, God our Savior, in 1 Timothy 1:1, Timothy 2:3, 1 Timothy 4:10, and in Titus here in 1:3, 2:10, and 3:4. So six times in the pastorals, this phrase, God our Savior, which if you think about it, when you think of Savior, we always think of Jesus Christ as our Savior, which is true. But it was God who initiated the saving plan. And if you remember, God promised Jesus a redeemed and saved humanity to the second person of the Trinity as a love gift. And here in Titus, Jesus Christ is also referred to Savior in Titus here in verse 4, chapter 1, 2:13 and 3:6. So Paul is saying that God is a Savior. By nature, God is a Savior. And in order to accomplish his saving purpose, which he promised before time began to our Lord, in order to fulfill his saving purpose, to demonstrate his love to his son, he called Paul to preach. And it was Christ who came to earth and died, and proved and provided the saving sacrifice that but God is a Savior. John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior because the Father had a saving purpose. So here it is, God who is Savior. It is God who had the plan to save the lost humanity as a love gift to the Lord. And it is this God who is Savior, has a desire to save, sends his Son to the Savior, and now sends preachers to preach this saving message. So it is God's saving purpose that is the reason why he has entrusted Paul with this preaching. And Paul knew God's means was preaching. And it is the preaching of the Word of God found in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:1 says that Paul did not come to manipulate the crowd, to use superior speech, lofty words, use his crafty oratorical words, did not come in wisdom, a man's wisdom. Verse 4 says, "My message and my preaching is not persuasive words of wisdom." He did not use these techniques. He did not want men's faith to rest on wisdom of men, but he came with God's wisdom. In God's power, he came in weakness, in fear, and trembling. He just preached the word. I read an article I brought here, if anybody's interested. It's by Duane Litvin, and it's called "The Perils of Persuasive Preaching." And it's kind of interesting when you read this article on how they did a study about how people can persuade people to the point where they can change their morals or their attitudes. So one of the things they quoted in here was that there was a hypnotist that took an atheist and they hypnotized him, and after 3 sessions, this atheist started going to church. And so they halted it because of the ethics behind it. So they had to reverse the effects on something like that. So when you think about the persuasiveness of man and preaching, and in contrast to what Paul is talking about, the question arises is, if you can hypnotize somebody, are they truly regenerate? Are they truly a child of God? Because they can literally make an atheist religious by manipulating their minds. Have you ever listened to a so-called motivational speaker? Can someone persuade you to change? It's pretty scary, especially on how not only can people fall for this kind of preaching, but how many people take advantage of this type of preaching and manipulate people into follow them. I mean, you can think of Jim Jones, right? And a lot of other people. But so this article is interesting if anybody wants to read. I just brought one copy there. But the article also mentions that they quote D.L. Moody. Was accosted on the streets of Chicago one day by a drunk who exclaimed, "Aren't you Mr. Moody?" "Why, I'm one of your converts," said Moody in reply. "That must be true, for you surely aren't one of the Lord's." Okay? We need more of Moody's honesty in facing the fact that it is possible for people to respond to the messenger and his techniques instead of the gospel and the Savior. So if a person can be manipulated in believing something different in their core values, and a persuasive preacher and manipulator, what are the results then ultimately? Would it be true regeneration? Of course not. The only legitimate tool is the Scripture. So the point is that preaching is not for someone to yield, but for someone to comprehend. It is for someone to comprehend, and it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to produce the yielding, a retention, and an action. For that is not the preacher's job. It is not the preacher's task to manipulate you to do something emotionally. The decision of the yielding, surrendering, and then retaining and acting is between the hearer and God, and not the hearer and the preacher. It is the Holy Spirit's work. Preaching is proclaiming saving truth, sanctifying truth, and strengthening truth from Scripture. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit. And that is what Paul says here in Titus. "I was entrusted with this proclamation. That is all I can do." All he can do is get their attention and bring comprehension. And the message is God's word. His job is to make them comprehend the word of God. which will save them, sanctify them, and strengthen them. Now, I left you with the question last week, are we all called to be preachers? Not in position, we'll talk about that later, but in action. It's a heavy responsibility, but it's also a privilege. Before I go, let's look at Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." You may not have an individual pulpit, as a preacher's position does, but you do have a mandate from God, don't you? To preach the truth, to proclaim it wherever you can, from Scripture. Amen.